This is so, I'm getting like short of breath thinking about this, but it's really just a major social faux pas. It's not like, and then I killed them, but it's, I'm just feeling the anxiety, the sweaty palms.
She said, what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast
where two unqualified friends,
two unhinged comedians,
determine once and for all what is good
and what is bad.
Hello, and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Blair Payton.
And I'm Sterling Mulberry. In each episode of the podcast, a guest shares a morally questionable story from their life, and we decide if they were in the right or the wrong.
And I tell you, Sterling, we have two guests today that I'm so excited about.
Oh, I can't even believe it. I don't even know where to start. I mean, like, such huge fans.
But also, too, their new podcast called Woo Woo is very much, like, dabbling in that whole world of, like, manifestation ghosts, like, woo woo stories.
Yes.
And, like, I feel like that's something we kind of dip our toes in and out of.
Yes. I feel like kind of to be a person, a young person, you kind of have to be dipping
your toes. I feel like the way you said young person was a slap in my face.
Well, I was going to say a person in their 20s, and then I was like a person
again,
in their 30s.
Why don't you throw me off a ledge?
I think you have to kind of dabble in kind of some supernatural elements because life is so hard that sometimes you kind of like need a little hope to look forward to. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Can I ask you what your percentage of woo-woo is?
I think I was really clocking in more like a 60 to 70% if you'd asked me a year and a half ago. I think when you're in the depths of despair is when you're clocking in the highest. But I think, unfortunately,
sure,
after you clock in high, aka crystals on my head, aka going to psychics, then nothing happened. Do you know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, hope is around the corner because of all these things. You know, I'm sage in my room and stuff. And then life passes you by and then you're like, not life in a sad way, but then like time continues and you're like,
okay,
wait.
Okay, but still it's sad. There's a sad cadence to it.
No, it's sad, but that's why I think it's gone down. That's why my percentage is lower because I'm like, what the heck? Like literally last year I was supposed to come into a huge amount of money through an inheritance. Nothing happened.
I was going to say prior to asking you that my percentage was 57, but after hearing that little explanation, I think it's dipped into the 20s now. So since the beginning of the year, I've really wanted to do a vision board.
Well, of course.
I wanted to take a, what do they call it? A play from your playbook? Because you did a vision board for your phone.
Yes, famously.
Where you had it on your screen so you always see it.
Yeah,
and
humiliating.
Always...
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is.
Well, don't lend anyone your phone when you're doing that, but yeah.
Okay, well, right now, my phone screen is B. Arthur, and every time someone sees it, they're like, who is this old fairy? And I'm like, B. Arthur, have respect. So I'm not too worried about that. But I kept wanting to do a vision board this weekend, but then I started thinking, because one time I went to this party and there's a thing where you have to have them in certain quadrants. And then I was like, well, it's not poster board. I'm doing it on my phone. So what are the quadrants? I got so OCD with it that I got exhausted about making a vision board. So I didn't do a vision board.
Yeah.
Because I want some stuff to happen this year.
Of course. And unfortunately, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. We're almost in March. So you better get cracking. The
wow.
year is... speeding along.
Wow, when you're in your 20s, and I'm talking percentage-wise, you are really in your 20s.
You think that's negativity for me to say it's almost March?
Yeah, because you're a glasses half full person would say that you still have 9 more months to go.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
No, of course. It's so sad. One day soon, I'm not going to even be able to say I'm in my 20s, and it's such a sad thing I'm thinking
about. I can't with you today. I just can't with you right now.
Anyways, we are so excited to have our guests on today. They co-host the podcast Woo Woo together, so please check that out. Our first guest is Rachel Dratch. You know her from Saturday Night Live, as well as so many other projects.
And her co-host, the hilarious Irene Bremis. She has a stand-up special dropping March 19th called Sweetie. Let's welcome our guests today, Rachel Dratch and Irene Bremis.
Thank you both so much for coming on today.
Now, starting right off the bat, I just got to get this out of the way. I saw Rachel on your Instagram where you met the girls from The Facts of Life.
You did.
Walk me through that moment.
Oh my God.
Your honor is my namesake.
Oh my God. All right. Oh my God. Well, I was doing the Drew Barrymore show and I walked into the makeup room and there I see Mindy Cohn, aka Natalie, who I've met once before. So she was like, hi. And then I was like, oh my gosh, hi. And then I turn and there's Joe. And then I flip my lid and then I didn't even notice that Blair was sitting in the corner getting her makeup done. Tootie was nowhere to be seen. I don't know what was up with that. But anyway, I like literally totally fangirl and like fell over onto the couch, like in a dramatic swoon.
I was one time in an elevator with Kim Fields and I really wanted to say something to her, but I think she was having like one of those days. So I didn't want to be that annoying person. But when I, no joke, I'm binging Facts of Life right now on Tubi for the 1,000,000th time.
Oh, Tubi's.
Sterling's also a big fan of the Facts of Life. She was literally like, what is that?
Not born. A fetus?
No, I have to catch it. I haven't seen it. Okay, so we like to ask our guests, you both work together obviously so much. You have your podcast, Woo Woo. Irene, I know your special is coming out in March that Rachel produced. So I know you guys are friends and also work together a lot. How do you guys kind of approach if you do go through any conflict? Do you have certain roles you guys usually fall into?
We didn't really have conflict.
Yeah.
Knock on wood. You mean with each other? How do we face a conflict?
Because you guys are doing a lot of work together.
I'll just say Irene's like such a positive person. I don't mean that like you can't have conflict with a positive person.
Before the show, Rachel just pretty much summed it all up. We marg it out. We have a margarita. Mm. There's no conflict there. Maybe have a margarita and just.
But we just have margaritas for fun though.
Yeah, just for
fun. We don't have conflict resolution margaritas.
We don't conflict drink margaritas.
I'm going to say it's 100% fun.
Well, I will say when Sterling was asking the question, I noticed Rachel, your eyes were kind of like shifting as if it was a lie. Are you lying?
Oh, no, that's because I was hearing that echo. It was because I was am I going
to
ask about the echo?
I just wanted to make sure. It felt like you had something to get off your chest.
No.
Blair, what is that? I think I heard that. My friend was an FBI agent. He said that if you look to the left, it's like you're conjuring a story. If you look to the right, you're recalling a memory.
Oh,
and that's what they use in the interrogation. Oh. No, Rachel is the most truthful person ever. If anybody's going to shift to the left, it's going to be me.
I'm a horrible liar.
I'm
such a bad liar that I don't even try. People think like actors lie for a living. It's not true at all. Yeah. I'm an awful liar.
She's an awful liar.
Maybe a terrible actor too. Yeah. But anyways, go ahead.
No. I'm going to ask you a question that may involve lying.
Oh,
so
shit.
Because you said the FBI thing, does that mean I could pass for an FBI agent? Rachel looked away.
Yeah, she looked away. She
left.
Couldn't even hide her
looking
response.
High left, high left. No, I don't know. I've never, as far as I know, I've never met an FBI agent. Maybe I have and I don't know it, but I don't have a lot of FBI experience.
Well, you're a suspicious observer, so yes, maybe you would be fine in the FBI, sweetie.
Thank you, Irene. That's all I wanted. Some positive affirmation. Also, speaking of manifestation,
Ooh.
I know you guys kind of dabble in like vision boards and so forth. Do you have any
woo-woo arts
tips, any suggestions?
Oh, yes, I do.
Blair and I are always trying to manifest things, but I have to say, I don't think we've manifested much. So
it's not working.
It's not working.
I'm sure you've heard this, but you have to be really, really specific. Mm. So I always look at it like you're placing your order. So then sometimes when you're placing your order, you aim too low for yourself, but then you have to remind yourself, oh, wait, aim super high. Why not place a really high order? What's the harm in it? And then you have to get really specific too. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't always work for me, but it often works for me.
It really works for Rachel, but it doesn't work for me. And I think that's indicative in our careers, actually.
but I think that like the more specific you are, whether or not you believe in woo-woo stuff or not, it's like you have to be vibing on what you want specifically. Because if you're just like, I want to have a good career. Well, how are you going to get there?
Right.
So you have to like think
specificity.
Of what you want. And that's where it sort of crosses from woo-woo into like real life. It's like, if you don't specify the goal.
Right.
But it's more fun to do magical thinking, even though, you know.
I think specificity, very specific. And also what Rachel said is very important. Think large, okay? Just say it. Throw it out into the ether. Don't block yourself. I think that's big too.
Do you think we have to be saying it out loud?
Yeah, say it
sometimes.
So I had asked Sterling this. I don't know if you heard this, but apparently there's certain brackets that everything has to go in if you want to do it correctly on a vision board. Have you heard this?
Never heard this. No.
I've never heard this either.
What do you mean? Like, oh, whoa. Love,
OCD vision board? No wonder career. My life is like, a mess.
You have to have quadrants?
Yeah, like quadrants. There should be like a health corner. Like what you want the most goes in the middle. And then you have like different brackets.
Oh, shit. Okay. That's where
now
I
haven't
wrong.
Actually made one of those since like magazines were a thing. So I don't really even remember. I just slapped everything on there.
I did too. I collaged. I collaged big time. Guilty of collaging. And I didn't have any sort of order whatsoever for maybe that was very confusing to the universe, I think. Because I just overlapped. It was sick. The universe is probably like, bitch, what do you want? This is confusing.
So on this podcast, we like to play a game called Heaven or Hell, in which we'll present several scenarios of a subject, and you'll decide if they are heaven or hell. And if you're feeling indifferent, it can be purgatory.
Okay.
So you have your podcast woo-woo. So these are going to be some different kind of woo-woo scenarios that we have. And you're going to decide they can be different for both of you if you have two different answers.
Okay.
Okay, Blair, do you want to kick us off?
Rachel, you can start every time.
Just as you close on your new house, the real estate agent says, oh, I forgot to mention, the house comes with its own ghost hunter. Is that heaven or hell?
Oh, heaven.
I'm going to go with purgatory on that one.
Irene really thinks it's hell, I think. Irene gets scared. She gets scared.
Okay, I love that Rachel.
Everything on the podcast, she's like, that's scary. That's scary.
But Rachel, you'd actually prefer a house come with a ghost hunter? Like that actually sounds like a really good scenario.
Well, the ghost hunter, to me, that sounds like then they could tell you if there's a ghost or not.
Right.
You'd get to the bottom of things. You have a free expert.
But you're not scared that they're...
Well, whether or not the ghost hunter's there, the ghosts are going to be there or they're not. So you have a ghost hunter along to give you more information as a free service. So that's why I answered heaven.
Yeah. I think I said purgatory.
I don't want a ghost, but...
Sterling, I'm like you. I'm terrified of ghosts. So
yeah,
it sounds like purgatory because I'm in limbo. If there is a ghost, I do want a ghost hunter, but I'm secretly praying that there isn't a ghost.
Of course. So, okay, but what if the ghost was like friendly? What if it tidied up your place?
I would love that.
I would also love that.
I think that's a dream.
I would love that.
So as long as you get a clean ghost.
That's a fantasy, Blair.
Okay, our next one. Getting a palm reading and the reader tells you that in a past life, you are a royal monarch and unfortunately have tons of curses placed on you in this lifetime, but she can get rid of them for just $1,000.
Okay, that's hell. And Irene and I, our very first woo-woo experiences, we did a palm reading in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And she was, I think, full of shit, right?
She was extremely full of shit, yes.
So I don't really believe in palm readers. What? Per se.
Do you remember what she said to you? This is when Rachel was at the Village.
Oh, I was doing the Real Life Brady Bunch.
Yep, exactly. And we went and saw her. And she told Rachel that you were going to waitress and that I was pregnant.
Okay.
Wow.
You've never waitressed.
Well, since. I did since, before
well,
that.
I
but
mean,
yeah.
And since high school. And I was not pregnant.
Well, did she set a deadline for it? Because maybe this is the year.
Yeah, this could be. I know.
Be
God took my reproductive rights away years ago, kids. I mean, don't let the plastic surgery mode on your app fool you. But I'm also going to go with Rachel on this one and say heaven.
Is that what you
said? Hell.
I mean, hell.
Because we don't. We
sorry,
don't believe,
not heaven. Hell.
Just because we do this podcast, we don't believe in it all.
Yeah,
we're noticing. We pick and choose what we believe.
Okay.
And some people are charlatans. And that sounds like anyone that's asking for $1,000, run the other way.
Run for the hill.
Yes. Okay.
And I don't like it when anybody says that a curse has been placed on you because they're planting a negative seed.
That's true.
That's horrifying. Yeah. Then you start looking
that's
at all your friends like they're just terrible, horrifying assholes that secretly hate you and are jealous. You know, whatever. It's just.
I would be an easy victim. I would be like, I've got to stop hanging out with you because I'm cursed.
Blair and I also went to a palm reader in New York that also was sketchy. And in like the, I don't know, maybe the West Village or something like a year and a half ago or so. She immediately was like, she was like, something's going on. Or she said, you're in a dark place to me. And I'm like, well, of course I'm in a dark place. I'm seeing a palm reader.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, that's an easy one to get.
Exactly.
Okay. Blair, do you want to do our next one?
Being awoken in the middle of the night by a ghostly figure shouting, tell my story. Despite being scared for your life, you write their story, make a movie, and get nominated for your first Golden Razzie.
Oh, Golden Razzie. That was going so, I was going to say heaven, but you said a Razzie.
But yeah. If you think about it, it's still promotion. And, you know, stars are now owning it nowadays. You know,
I'm gonna say hell for that. Although, I would like to write down a ghost story.
I'm going to say...
Because the business is hard enough. We don't need Razzies on our resume.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to say purgatory because I could get a good story out of it. But again, it always comes down to a screaming ghost in my face. I might have a, you know, cardiac arrest because yeah. I'm just afraid, like Sterling.
Okay. Performing a seance in your apartment because you want to get the historical dirt on your place in order to negotiate a lower rent.
Ooh, that's got a lot of layers to it.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. I don't know. I think I might go purgatory on that one.
You're purging what do you on say? That one?
Okay.
Again, I'm going to take all my answers are fear-based. I'm going to say you know what? No, I'm going to go purgatory on that one too, actually.
Okay.
Because, you know, if I can negotiate a lower rent, I'm all in, but it always comes down to like you don't want to, you know, attract something that's, you know, an entity or something horrifying.
Have you either of you ever done a seance?
I probably did, you know, in junior high or whatever, like yeah, light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
I think
yes.
I tried one. You know what? This is weird. We did try one. I was in this theater program and like there was this very old house we were staying in and we did try to do a seance and the lights did flicker, I know that could happen in an old house. That's the thing. You always have to have the room for skepticism, but we were sitting there and it was kind of weird when the lights flicker, but you know, that could be anything. Old houses have flickering lights.
They do have flickering.
It's a catch 22, whatever. No, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a seance?
I did light as a feather, stiff as a board, but I don't think I've ever done a seance. I've never really done a seance or, you know, screwed with Ouija boards. I get very nervous.
My only familiarity with seances is sitcoms. So anytime there would be a wacky moment where they're like there was an episode of Designing Women. We can talk about it off air, but you know, it all worked out. Okay. So your next one, your passive aggressive frenemy gifting you matching voodoo dolls for your birthday.
I'm going to say hell because I feel like voodoo dolls, you're putting out negative energy. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's better to stay away from like revenge fantasies. I mean, I feel like maybe when I was younger, I might have gone for the voodoo doll, but I feel like I have wisdom now to not dwell on revenge.
I'm going to say hell with a little clause in there if it was like ex-boyfriends maybe and a big giant pin to their testicles perhaps. No, I'm just...
Well, hence the youth factor.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't do that.
That's something like...
Yeah, I wouldn't.
A 30-year-old might be into.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm kidding. I'm also like Rachel. It just sounds like I'm very agreeable, but I do agree with you, Rachel. I don't believe in the negative energy, and I wouldn't actually use a voodoo doll on anyone.
Okay. And then our last one.
Looking at a photo of you and a friend and realizing there is a weird orb-like figure in the corner that looks exactly like a mutual acquaintance of which you can never remember their name.
Rachel?
You go first for this
okay.
one.
Okay, all right.
The twisteroo at the end always throws me.
Okay, okay, I'm sorry.
I thought it was going to be...
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like there's like a dead person.
Right.
Or a person.
But somebody...
I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Someone that I can't remember their name. It's like that they're like means... there, but they're out of focus.
Right.
Like it's they like... were actually there. So some random gremlin, that's what we call them, gremlins. When a random person ends up in the back of your picture,
yeah,
we call that a gremlin. So I guess I'm purgatory on that.
You're purgatory on that one?
I don't think I believe though in orbs and photos as being, like if you show me a shadowy figure that's suddenly there, okay, I'm interested. But the orb thing, I feel like that's some photographic glitch.
That could be like a light or something. I mean, if it has
What do you think, Irene?
I'm going to say that's kind of... hell, really. And I'll explain why. Because if it's a face that I can't even remember, it's like you're ghosting a ghost. It's so bad. The person is gone. Yeah. It just feels like sad, you know, like this person, I can't even, I'm blanking on, I knew this person. They're no longer with us. They're making a very concerted attempt to rejoin this picture.
So if anything, you're insulting the dead.
Yeah, I'm insulting the dead. So I'm going to say it's hurtful. It's hurtful to the ghost that, Yeah.
You reminded me that in real life, I have terrible face blindness, and it's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing.
Because it comes off as so rude.
It does.
So having the face blindness that I have is hell, I'm going to say.
Yeah. But, okay, so you know what? I'm going to change my answer to hell now, too. Now I am just agreeing with you.
And that is a partnership that we like to see.
It really is.
Just so agreeable.
Wait, I think I did say hell initially. I didn't say purgatory in this one. I said hell.
I will say my sister, Heather, is like, she believes in orbs. And one time she showed me a picture. She went by our old grandmother's house just because she was feeling nostalgic. And she took a picture. And then when she got the picture, she was like, this orb looks like granny's hair. And I was like, I'm not quite seeing that. But she was like crying. And I was like, okay.
The funny thing is that you said, looks like, I thought you were going to say looks like granny, but it's granny's hair. Which is like, yeah,
which really lost a lot of cred.
Could be a white blip on a photo. Yeah. That was just a funny little mislead there.
Yeah.
Looks like granny's hair.
I mean, she did have robust white hair that was like a bouffant, but I'm like,
okay.
Feels like a stretch.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, that was our game.
That was our game. You both did amazing.
Okay.
Oh, that was great.
That was a lot of good woo-woo happening.
So we've invited both of you on our podcast today, and I think you know why. So do you have a morally questionable story that involves either both of you or separately that Blair and I are etiquette experts that we will help judge today?
So we have two separate stories.
Perfect.
We have
two separate stories, yeah.
Who would like to go first?
Okay, so I'll just, oh my God, I'll tell this story. Ah! So, okay. I was on a trip with some friends, some lady friends. We were in Napa. We were at this wine tasting thing. It wasn't a big group. It was like four of us. And there was this couple that was there too. They were kind of our age. I feel like someone in the group knew, like they knew, we both knew the winemaker, something like that. So we were kind of in this little like private tasting thing, and then we start chatting, and we were going to have this friend of ours come over, this chef guy was going to come over and cook that night. So I think I said like, oh, you guys should come, you know? I didn't really consult the group on it. Then I found out like the group didn't really want that. So they were like very opposed to having this these people come, and I had no clue about that. So anyway, this is so, I'm getting like short of breath thinking of this, but it's really just a major social faux pas. It's not like, and then I killed them, but it's, I'm just feeling the anxiety, the sweaty palms. Uh-huh.
Just breathe through it. You got this.
So our friend's coming to cook. We had this like rental house thing. So then my friends are like, we want it just us. So I was like, okay. So we leave them a message and say, we're not doing this dinner anymore. You know, so don't come here because we're not doing this dinner. The chef canceled, okay?
Okay.
Which was a lie, okay? Mm. So then, whatever, I forget when he was coming. The chef's notoriously late, by the way, but he's a friend of ours. Okay. So I don't mean like our chef is notorious. No, this guy's a friend of ours. He's a friend of ours. Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, it's like 6 o'clock or something. Ding dong at the house door. Unfortunately, I was the person that answered the door. There's this couple, and I'm like panic mode because I'm really bad in like this. Even though I'm an improviser, I'm not an improviser at life. So
yeah,
I had no quick thinking, and in my mind, I'm like, wait, they're here. We left a message saying this isn't happening. What's happening when the chef shows up and there's a message that this isn't like? I was just like me. So I go, oh hi, hold on a minute. I mean, this is my memory. I run. I leave them standing on the doorstep. I run up to my friends who are upstairs. What am I doing? You know? And then no one is like taking charge. It's on me. So I spend way too much time leaving them. It was so weird. And then you show up and then you're just left there. I come back down. I think I came back down to like, hold on a sec. You know, something's right. Run back up, whatever. I come back down again. They're walking down the driveway. They're leaving, okay? Now, by the way, I'm on SNL by now. I'm like a famous person, whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I wish that it had been like someone other than me, because then you're just like forgotten, you know? I don't mean you're forgotten if you're not on SNL, but I mean then the person that committed this faux pas wouldn't have been me. So anyway, right. I was getting no backup. I was like, I wish like I had a, like a walkie-talkie, like backup needed, you know, no one. I was flailing in the, flapping in the breeze here. So they're walking down the driveway. In my memory, I awkwardly was like, oh, I don't even remember if I said, we left you a message, like, this isn't happening. I don't even remember, because it was, like, white hot, like, you know, TV fuzz in my head.
Yeah.
Anyway, then they leave. I mean, this is kind of it. That's kind of it. That's all it is.
Okay.
But it was just a very awkward, very socially faux pas-esque thing.
Have you spoken to these people since?
No, because I didn't even know them. But the, here's, okay, the, here's the kicker.
Okay.
Chef never showed up.
Yeah.
Chef never showed up.
Wow.
So the dinner didn't
so really
So
you really
happen.
Didn't lie.
The dinner didn't happen. The voicemail was true.
At work.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's kind of it. I know I built that up like I did something like really awful, but I still think of that and shudder.
No, that's an amazing story.
I don't know. The other one was when I was 12, my friend and I set the woods on fire. So that's another. There's another.
When you came back to the door and saw them walking down the driveway, did you say anything? Like, did you yell out or you just kind of let them go?
I think I like, I don't remember what I said, but I like walked like, oh, I don't really know what's happening. I don't know.
What were they saying?
They looked like, this is messed up. They were like, that's okay. We're going. Like, it was like, yeah. It was definitely awkward. Yeah. And then.
Okay.
Like, you know, if they hear this, guys, the chef never showed up. Uh-huh. And, so you know, I know I invited you. I was overruled. I was loose lips. Invitation. Inviting
Invitititis.
Interlopers.
Never.
And then out. I'm the one who took it for the team.
Yeah.
So it's more of like a social.
She's a hero. Let's just call it what it is.
It's like a Miss Manners, like, scale of, like, zero. Miss Manners fail.
If you had invited them in, though, what do you think would have happened?
Well, I should have just invited them in. And if I had, no, I was like, I thought of this like 15 years later. Why didn't I just say, why didn't I say like, oh, we left you a message because we thought he wasn't coming, but he is now, I guess. That's all. It's not, I know in the life scale, it's not like huge, but it sticks with me because it's not like, it's not how I like to operate.
Of course.
Yeah, I understand.
Of course.
I understand.
Then there's the time I set the woods on fire.
That one you seem that real
was
proud
a,
of.
That was an accident, but that's a clear cut crime.
Keep bringing
crime.
That one up.
Well, that's a clear crime. The other one's a blip on the social scale. The other one is arson.
Arson.
So
legitimate.
It was an accidental fire, but my friend
accidental
and I,
arson. Rachel.
My friend and I set the woods on fire by accident, and then we had to go run and call the fire department, and we were never discovered. Until now.
Until now.
1979.
But it's funny, as you're telling that story, you don't seem as nervous.
I'm not, because like, I was a kid and I was an accident.
Yeah.
I was a was child. It? Yes, we were doing this. Well, we were playing with matches. Don't do this, kids. We were playing with matches in the woods, and we would like set these little fires and then stomp them out. And that was like our hobby. And then one time it got out of control. It started like spreading, like the circle was getting wider and wider. It wasn't a high fire. It was like a low brush ring, you know? And then, but then it got too wide for us to stomp out. So we ran away and then we went to a neighbor's and we rang the doorbell and thank goodness an older teen answered. We're like, there's a fire in the woods. And so then she called the fire department and we just bolted to one of our houses. And that was that story.
Okay. We will factor that into our judgment.
Now, Irene, do you have a story for us as well?
Okay, I have two stories. Okay, so one story was I was waitressing at this place called Bar Six. And I remember I really, it was a late night and I just had a really tough shift. And I really was, I was like not in the mood, you know, to be working. And it was very hard for me to get through the shift. It was just awful, right? And so I get done at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I step outside and these two little, and I'm going to use my grandfather's, on my father's side, punks. That's right. Okay. These little punk. No, and they jumped me and took my tip money. I'll never forget it. They grabbed my purse and they started running. And at the time, I remember I was wearing like heels because that's a smart thing to do when you're waitressing, heels. Mm-hmm. And looked like a stripper at the time as well. Anyway, so I start running after these two and I can't catch up with them. And I start yelling. I'm like, somebody help. And some guy on a bike thought really smart and smartly, and he threw his bike down and these kids tripped.
Oh,
they tripped. Yeah, they tripped. I caught up to them and I jumped on them. That's right. Okay. And okay. I actually was trying to find my purse. And I was, you know, I was jumping on them. I was maybe hitting them and grabbing my purse. And then when I called the cops let them go because they said I violated their civil rights.
What?
Let them go, put me in a cop car so that I could go down to the station to fill out forms. And I passed on that. I said, you had them, you let them go. I'm not interested in coming down to the station to fill out your goddamn forms right now. And so then my boyfriend at the time and I, who I would get a voodoo doll on, by the way. Let's just.
His balls are in trouble.
His balls should have been in trouble. Anyway, so I, so he and I were like scouring nearby dumpsters and we found my purse. They dumped it nearby. Mm. Okay, so that's my one story.
Okay.
You're the victim in that.
I was the victim in that one. There's no question.
Dang.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. It really does suck. I know, right? But, yeah. You know, again, I wouldn't encourage anybody to do that. These boys could have had guns, you know, and I could have put my life at risk. But I thought so little about my, no, I'm just kidding. So, waitressing. Anyway, so the other story, I was like maybe in, I think I was in kindergarten and I was on the school bus and it was like the first day of school where you have to bring your teacher a gift.
Oh God.
And my mother, who
she
comes from a
told
very
me story. This story is horrifying.
It's really horrifying and it's kind of gross.
It's worse than setting the woods on fire.
Yeah,
let's
it's worse
it
than setting the woods on fire. I'm going to have to say it is. And so my mother, who's like, I come from an immigrant Greek family and my mother made baklava, slaving for hours to make the most perfect baklava, gave it to me to bring to the teacher. And while I used to get motion sickness. I still do. I can't be in a car for a long time. I always have to sit up front or else I get really sick. So I got sick on the bus and I threw up on this. And I remember I had to go into the bathroom now before I went to see my class. I washed it off as best as I could, washed it off. And then I went in and the teacher, and I know you're going to find this very hard to believe, but this actually happened. I actually brought, because I didn't want to get in trouble. My mother is Greek. They're very strict. You know, yeah. It wasn't a timeout. It was a slap back then. I don't, you know. So anyway, so I just had to, you know, power through. And I brought these, the baklava over to my teacher. And she must have been very hungry. I'm sorry. Because this bitch did not even flinch, okay? Can we just... she just kind of, well, she did. She was like picking through it because it was wet because I tried to get rid of it. She opened it, took a piece and actually ate it. And she was like, delicious. And I was like, you're welcome. That vomit was extra. Anyway, and that was my other story. So
first of all, I hate that.
Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't?
Teachers,
it's
take
a fetish
note.
Thing.
Take note, teachers. Do not accept food.
Yeah, it's wet.
It was wet. I was trying to.
Well,
I washed
baklava
it off.
Is naturally wet. So,
but the other thing is like, why couldn't she? I mean, vomit smells,
Was there no cellophane?
No, it was like in like paper. In like it wasn't in cellophane. No, it was wrapped up like in paper. Because I remember her picking through it. It was wet. It was kind of whatever. And she opened it up, and then she did take a bite, and she was like delicious. And I could think about was
she faked.
I got away with it. That's all I thought about. It's like I dodged a bullet, you know. And that was it. So that's my second story. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have so much to deliberate.
I know. We give you a lot of material.
Deliberate.
We've actually, I don't know if we've ever had four stories, so we'll really have to go
we've
back
We've had four stories. That was a lot to take in. What are you thinking, Sterling?
Oh, I had one last teeny question for Rachel based on her story. I know you mentioned your story was obviously in Wine Country. Did it any of it become or was based on your movie then, Wine Country, that you were in?
Well, this happened before the girls' trip that became Wine Country, but I will say the chef was the paella chef.
Because that will just help in our judgment of like if this story actually, or like this kind of scenario helped then deem some amazing work that came after it. Okay.
Right. No, it didn't. It didn't.
Okay.
It had no creative benefit for it anybody. Didn't.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So with Rachel's story, I could feel the anxiety. My hands are sweating as you were telling that. So I totally have been that person where I say just a little innocuous lie and then boy, does it come back in my face. So
wait, I want to interject one thing.
Yeah.
I didn't say let's lie to these people.
No,
my
not at
friends
all.
Were like, just tell them like on the, like, let's just call them and say it right. didn't. Okay. So I don't want to take ownership of the lie. Yeah,
exactly. Because Rachel's not a liar. Fine with,
well, okay. I'm sure I am sometimes.
But you, okay, anyway,
but you did condone it in that moment.
Well, I went along because I felt like I invited them and no one wanted me to. So I was like, okay.
So I think you were, a victim in that scenario. But the thing that's really sticking out to me is the confidence at which you were like, yeah, I started a fire as a kid. Yeah, I started a fire, you know? You didn't even flinch. You were like, my hands aren't sweating. You're like, I was a kid. I didn't know anything. But you know what? They do teach us to not play with matches as they young do. As, I don't know, two? I don't know. I can't remember.
Huh. Smokey the Bear.
So I'm a little torn there.
Okay.
And as far as Irene's story, the first one, that... You, good behavior. You
Thank
know?
You, sweetie.
Of course. Of course.
That was superhero vibes.
I stop crimes on my off time. That's what I do.
The second one,
I mean, if we know not to set hold fires, up. We surely know not to serve vomit.
Excuse me. Hold on, Rachel, because I was on your side, okay?
Now we have conflict.
This is
now
terrible.
Now we need a conflict.
Write this down as conflict.
We need a conflict mark.
Someone
now.
Get you guys margaritas quick.
All we have to do is do your podcast.
And now we're going to have to each other's throats. Until now.
Okay. So, you know what? That is true. You should know better to, like, you were near a window. You could have thrown out the window, but instead.
Okay, hold on a second there. Before you start with your seething judgment, may I add. Okay. First of all, you know very well that school bus windows don't open, sweetie.
Oh.
Mine did not open.
Mine did. Oh.
Mine didn't. Well, you guys, how old are you? Back in the day, we didn't have open windows.
Okay, well. Since the window couldn't open, still, you could have thrown up to your left or right, depending on how close you were to the window.
Unless.
Or Blair. Lift it up.
But you know what? I do understand that kid thing of like, I was given this assignment. I have to do it. Like, I get that totally.
Rachel just made a very severe comeback in the love department, sweetie.
I think potentially for a clear judgment or clean judgment, I'll set aside maybe the ones from childhood as much, because I think, again, as we've talked about, like, that's so, I think as a kid, when we don't have our frontal lobe developed, we barely know much. So I'll say, like, that's, and also, like, what a lesson in life for both of those stories. So I would say that's easy good behavior for childhood. I think for the ones from adulthood, Irene, obviously very clear cut, good behavior. And Rachel, I think for yours, again, I think peer pressure can go far. And I think you still hold like that guilt of what happened. Ultimately, you were telling the truth because that chef didn't show. And so I think I'm going to go good behavior for both of you overall.
Oh, hard pass. We
I
love you, Sterling.
I feel so absolved. I feel like I just had a therapy session.
That's wonderful, Sterling.
About
thank
some
you.
Trivial little thing. Yeah. And then I've been told I can let it go.
Yeah.
I will say, because I know we're on a time crunch, I will just agree with Sterling and say good behavior.
Okay.
So you got lucky, ladies.
So thank Irene you. And Rachel, you've officially been deemed good behavior. We have a little acceptance speech. I know it can be a little nerve-wracking when you get a reward to come up with something on the fly. So we have a little acceptance speech for you guys to read that we'll throw into the chat.
Wow, we are so excited to receive the reward of good behavior. We used to be the type of people who were lost, making all the wrong decisions in life and exhibiting lots of bad behavior. Maybe you listeners are like that now. Well, you're in luck because we open an incredible retreat center in upstate New York where lost souls can be found again.
It's a sanctuary that encourages all its followers to become their best selves. So join us, two women and our genius leader, a guy named Jerry, who isn't a looker, but you might find yourself interested in. We promise you'll never want to leave, and we'll make sure you're never able to.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I guess we're starting a cult.
Yeah, looks like it.
Well.
And this is excellent. Exactly what we're afraid our listeners are going to think we're about.
Hey, I don't know. It could be good. Well, before we wrap up, can you tell listeners where they can follow you, anything upcoming to plug and all that jazz?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Ray Dratch, R-A-E Dratch. And we just have this podcast going on, woo woo. And aside from that, Gosh, I don't have anything going on at the moment, but I intend to manifest as soon as this is over. A vision board, very specific.
Quadrants.
Okay, quadrants. I'm going to use the quadrant method that I learned here today.
I love it.
And just look at me go.
Okay, and I'd like to, I'm at Irene Bremis on Instagram, and I'd also like to push our podcast, The Woo Woo, with Rachel Dratch. It's absolutely amazing. We have incredible guests and incredible shows on deck. And please listen. You'll love it. You'll love it. You'll love it. And I also have my special dropping, produced by Rachel Dratch, on March 19th on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Google Play. Please.
Irene's stand-up special.
That's right.
It's called stand-up Sweetie special. Surprise.
That's right. Sweetie. Thank you, Rachel. Sweetie. Surprise, surprise. And please just put a pin in it, watch it, review it, and like it. Help a bitch out. And I love you for doing it.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye. Bye.
Do you think that was good?